forward and how we are standing. Lord, take this communion in commemoration, Father, God, of your death, burial, resurrection. And Father, knowing that you are not dead, but you are alive. Knowing, Lord, that you are in our midst tonight. And Father, we are so grateful, Father, as we approach this service, Lord, in humility, in reverence, and in love, Father, in tenderness, O God, looking to the author and finisher of our faith. Resting, Lord Jesus, on the finished work, Lord. Lord, there on Calvary, you bowed your head and said it was finished. Lord, it is finished once and for all, Father. Here in this 20th century, Lord God, here you are taking us up together, Father, bringing us closer to your bosom, Lord. With all our hearts, oh God, we lay before you, just loving you, Father. Lord, looking to the thing that you have done in our lives, Lord God, how you led us through this journey, oh God. Looking through this recent time, Father, the word that you're putting on our hearts and preparing us, Father, knowing that this bright tree would stand again. Lord, knowing that you would bloom, Father, knowing the capstone is coming down, Father. You are doing the treating, Father, between the shout of voice and the trumpet. Lord, this is the mystery between the shout and the trumpet, Father. And we are here tonight, Lord, to express, oh God, our heart, our love, our feeling, our appreciation, Father. Healing all our minds, our hearts, and our soul to thee, O God. Father, we take this communion tonight, Father. Lord, looking back to see the lamb bleeding on the cross. Father said, this do in remembrance of me. You'll take this bread that represents your body, and Lord, to drink this, the juice of the grape that represents your blood. And Father, we are doing it with a revelation in our hearts. Lord, we come drawing closer to you. No, you said, Father, if we draw nigh to you, you will draw nigh unto us, Father. Oh, God, we confess all our sins, Lord God. Lord, we thank you, Father. When we look back into the scripture, Lord, and see the Apostle Paul standing and said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of sin? But, Lord, we can stand tonight and say, thank you, Father. Thank you for paying the price, Father. And we'll look to you, God. Committing our lives to you, oh God. Lord, take full control of this service tonight. Lord, bless your servant, Lord God. Bless the song leader, Father. Lord, bless the laity, oh God. Lord, if there's a stranger in our midst, Lord, may they watch and see and recognize Jesus Christ, Lord, moving in his people, preparing us, Father, for that great expectation, oh God, at the last trumpet, Father. Lord, forgive us all our trespasses, Father. Lord, we look to you, O God, knowing that we are nothing without you, Lord. Seeing that this world is all dark and the sin is sweeping all over the world, Father. But Lord, you have given us the word that we can stand. We bless you, Father. We praise you tonight, Lord. We worship you, O God. Thanksgiving and joy and praise within our hearts. We bow before you, Lord, and say thank you, Father. Pour out your blessings, O God, with thanksgiving, O, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Just want to greet and welcome you in the precious and worthy name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's just sing this little chorus. Sing and I love you, Lord. Sing and I love you, Lord. Mean that from the depths of your heart, singing, I love you, Lord. Sing it this way, sing it, I'll praise you, Lord. Just praise him a little while.
Hallelujah. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are everything. You are father, mother, brother, sister. You are everything to us, Lord. Oh, you are our sufficiency tonight, Lord. Hallelujah. All that we would ever desire, Lord, would be more of you. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Deep in our hearts, cry out for thee, Lord, calling for thee. Oh, to satisfy the thirst of our souls, the hunger of our hearts. Lord God, only you can do it. We thank you tonight, Father. You are here, your presence is all sufficient. You are all we have need of. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Blessed be your wonderful name. Father, we thank you. You are all that we have need of. All we think, Lord, is for more of you to come into our lives. Lord, we look around in this polluted, sin-sick world. There's nothing, Lord God, that is here that we can see, can meet the deep in our hearts. That deep cries out for more of you. Empty and bare, Lord, hear our prayers for more of you tonight, Father. And Lord, as we come, sing this little song, more of you. You're all that we have need of tonight. Oh, God, truly, that is a sincere confession from the depths of our soul. Lord God, our days are darkness. We tried the world. We tried all what Satan had to offer us. But, oh, God, we are so disappointed, so delusioned. Lord God, but when we tasted from the springs of living water, oh, God, we realize, oh, God, that is the reality, Father. Lord God, we draw nigh unto you tonight. Coming into your presence, Lord, laying aside every weight and every sin, laying aside everything, Lord. And Lord, holding on to you tonight, Father.
Oh God, you would just pour your Holy Spirit in our midst. You'd reveal your word to us in such a way. Lord God, you would give us the pleasures in your right hand. Hallelujah, pleasures forevermore. Oh God, Father, make your reality so real to each and every one of us, Lord. It would take a hold of every soul here tonight, Father. It would so take us away, Lord, from the world, and all these things would go strangely dim in the light of your glory and your grace. Father, we pray as you unveil yourself, as you make yourself so much more real, oh God. Father, as you begin to taste, oh God, as he has a thirst, let him come and drink of the rivers of water of life. There's a river, oh God, it flows from deep within. Hallelujah. Come to this river, there's a vast supply. Father God, may as we drink tonight, like a thirsty woman, Lord, drink from that well tonight, Lord. Oh God, may it bring a fresh experience. May it bring a new reality, oh God, to each and every one of us. Lord, like Daniel, in this Babylonian world, we could stand, Lord, renouncing all the things of Babylon, knowing that we have a God, knowing that there's a function revealed unto us that brings a full satisfaction to us, Lord. And I pray, dear God, to each and every one, that thou will be opened by a divine revelation tonight. Hallelujah. The Lord God will draw close to that fountain. They will drink from that fountain. They will find that satisfaction. They will find out, Lord, that you are all that they have need of. Hallelujah. You are everything, dear God, tonight. Grant it, Lord, I pray. May it be a real experience. Oh, God, may it be a personal experience, Father. Lord, for each and every individual that is here tonight. And I pray, dear God, that you would become the center of our lives, the rock that our soul is rested upon tonight, Lord. Oh, blessed be your name. May you grant it tonight, Father. In times like these, how we need to have an experience like that, Lord. In this world so full of temptation, so dazzling. Lord God, with all its different forms of deception. But Lord God, when we find that reality, oh God, Father, it satisfies. You have given us a word, a religion. You have given us a revelation, this hour that satisfies. Oh God, that meets every need in the life of every believer. Oh, what a challenge that is tonight, Father, for everyone to come and taste and see of the Lord that he is gracious. Hallelujah. May they taste tonight, Father, and may they find that, Lord, it satisfies. Oh, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, Lord. Have your way amongst us. Lead and direct us in this service tonight. As we come to your altar, may we heartily prepared. Oh, God, for real communion, real fellowship. Lord, to remember you, what you mean to us, what you are to us. As this great, glorious revelation unfolds day by day, our soul drawing closer and closer to you. Oh, God, how much more you mean to us today than yesterday. And tomorrow, it will mean so much more to us, Lord. Oh, God, it's sweet and sweet as the days go by. Hallelujah. We thank you for something like this, Lord, that could change our lives and give us something, Lord, that we don't have to be ashamed of, but we can stand and be proud to be a Christian. Hallelujah. Stand in this evil world, oh, God. And know, dear God, that we are going to a world without pollution, a new civilization. Oh, blessed be your wonderful name. Let that pass by. Let your children taste of that tonight, Father. Let them find that divine reality. Let it be, oh God, the thing that they will tie their soul to tonight. Blessed be your name. Have your way in this service tonight. Touch each and every heart, Father. May there be strangers and visitors amongst us. We just pray it would be such a real experience to them also. They would come to know you. They would come to love you. They would want to live one day without you in their lives. And you, Lord, would be the center of their lives tonight. We commit everyone into your hands now, Father. Just lead us and guide us in what we should say and do. And may it bring glory to thy name. In Jesus' precious name we pray and we ask these things. Amen. Amen. Let's sing our Bibles tonight. I'd like to read in the book of Daniel, chapter 1. Yes, well, let's exhortation before we come to the Lord's table. Verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom, and gifted in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them, stand in the king's place, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of them they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. And I just want to continue in verse 17. And as for these 4 youths, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, and the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king conversed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all manner of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. May the Lord have blessed him his word. I want to welcome everyone in the house of God tonight. And I just thought I'd just take like a little exhortation for half an hour or so before we would come to the Lord's table. And we have a few notes of praises we'd like to read. Some of them we read Sunday and last night, but we kept them back and we're going to read them tonight. But as Stephen Dacent would like to thank God for giving him the job that prayer was offered for. Truly God watches over his word. Amen. The job that he needed, you know, he had made a tender for it, and he just felt it was the right time for him to have it. And he had, I think, attended for it in a couple of years before, and this time he just felt led to do it again, and the Lord just worked it out, and he received it. But a kid, Sandy, would like to praise the Lord for the immediate healing of his son Cornelius after prayer was offered for him. Also, Brother Ganga would like to give God praise and thanks for restoring his bag. He had his Bible and important documents after prayer. Amen? Amen. And Sister Mercy Joseph would like to thank the Lord for his grace and love towards her and restoring her health and strength. She'd also like to thank the saints for their prayers and encouragement. And Brother Colville Walker would like to thank the Lord for his hand of protection when he and 2 others went into a silo at National Rice Mills, which had poisonous gas. The 2 others were rushed to the hospital while he was in touch. Amen? So many different ways that God is showing and confirming his presence, you know, in the lives of his children, associating himself. You know, we was talking the other day that some of the brothers was just talking, they was, you know, saying that, you know, some people, you know, they just can't see that what is really happening. They don't see nothing happening. You know, things is happening, but it's happening the way that people don't see because they look through the conception. And you know, when you want to see the reality of God, is what you look at when you see. And I made a remark, I says, think of all them Jews who stood up there by Lazarus' grave and saw him dead, the news dead and rotten for 4 days, and saw him came out of the grave when Jesus stood up there and called him forth, And then they walk away and trying to think of a way to kill Jesus, saying that the whole world will go after him. They didn't see nothing so great in the sense to change their hearts. They wanted to make sure that that didn't reach in their place to influence other people so that they will lose membership from the religion. So you see, you know what you're looking for, and those miracles are done before your eyes, the greatest and most marvelous things, because the prophet says, when you think of the sun drawing billions of gallons of water out of the sea and turning the clouds every day and transport and water and bring rainfall in other places, you think about that. How come man can't do it? Before your eyes, and nobody don't scream and shout. You see, and you know, miracles happen every day. But, you know, it depends on what you're tuning to and what you're seeing. And, you know, the whole thing is you don't see God on the outside unless he's on the inside. And that's where the key is. You'd stand up and you would look, but you wouldn't see. Because looking is not seeing. You see, and it's the whole difference that when you have to have anointed eyes to see. That's why Jesus said, blessed are your eyes that you see. Everybody had eyes. Two men on the road to Emmaus. You know, he opened their eyes. But after when their eyes were opened. But they wasn't physically blind. And yet Jesus was right in the midst after the resurrection. And they were behaving like he was dead because what their eyes had seen on the cross. And what their eyes had seen on the cross, their eyes couldn't see him risen standing there. Because that conception of seeing him die on the cross overpowered the mind. And they didn't have enough revelation in their heart to recognize him resurrected. When they heard the news of it, it couldn't change the conception. So the eyes wasn't open. But when he spoke the word, it took revelation to remove what was like a rumor to them. Because it came as a rumor, but without revelation. But when he spoke, he was dealing with the thing that was blinding them. He was speaking, removing that thing that was blinding them. But the information that he had rose was just information, and that didn't deal with the doubt. That didn't deal with the conception that really blinded him. You know what I'm saying? You see, they heard he was risen, but they said it was idle tales. Because it's just information, like you turn on the radio and you hear news. That isn't being spoken to deal with your doubt. But when you speak to him, you say, oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. Ought not Christ to suffer this. Ought not Christ to suffer that. He was speaking directly to break the spirit of doubt so they could get a revelation in the atmosphere of revelation. And that's the difference. You see, and when God is speaking his word by the ministry, that's what he's doing, to perfect what is lacking of faith, to give us a revelation, to deal with the doubt, deal with the thing that's blinding us. Because it's all around us. We read the papers, we hear the news, but we don't get revelation unless we're in the spirit to see the word being fulfilled. Amen. I say last time, many people say, I want to see God, I ain't seen God, I ain't seen no God. Let me tell you, you ain't seen God in this hour. When the seven seals open, you ain't seen God. Seven seals open to unveil God. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You need eyes salve when you ain't seen God. As far as God is concerned, God is unveiled. Yeah. As far as God is concerned, he's in plain view. Since creation, he have never been in view like how he's in view now. Yeah. Not even in the days of Jesus, he was in view like how he's in view now. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Right. What we need is eyes salve. To anoint our eyes, because he has been unveiled. He cannot be unveiled again. Yeah. Because he didn't veil back himself as far as the word was concerned. He unveiled himself by the word. He changed form, sure. But the unveiled word is what told you he was going to change form. So you can still see him though he changed form. But as far as the word, he unveiled himself by the word. And you don't have to look for him no more. Because he's in plain view. Man was looking for him. But then he came and he showed himself. Amen. Right over the page of the Bible, what he's doing, what he has been doing, what he'll be doing. Yeah. And the very fact he shows what he'll be doing, what he did and what he was doing and what he will be doing, we don't have to wonder where he is. He already said what he'll be doing. Amen. And he don't lie. Amen. That is why the believers who is in harmony with him recognize him daily. Amen. And they could live for him daily. Yeah. And their life is worthy. Because the life that cannot live for him daily is not worthy of the gospel. But it takes inspiration to live for him. You don't go out there and try not to smoke and not to drink and say living for Jesus. No. He is in you fulfilling his word. That's living for him. living for him is he living in you. Amen. Amen. You see, and the person who really living for the Lord, you know, I want to live for the Lord, you know, and I want to do this for the Lord. And but you know, if you're doing something that is not in the word of promise to do for this day, then you're really living for him. See, because we have to do the service according to his will, and it's really he and us doing that service himself. Amen. Amen. And you know, we've been speaking some things here, and I sometimes try to gauge your feelings, and I try to gauge your understanding, see if you're coming along, and if we're getting things the way we're supposed to get it, and you know, it makes you wonder sometimes. But I trust that by the grace of God that, you know, we are catching more and more, and we are seeing, and when the word would come and to show us things, you know, he's not trying to make the message mysterious, he's just trying to make plainer to us. It is opening up what is dear in a way that it's already open, but you look at it and you can't make it out. So it's keep opening up more and keeping our attention focused right into a place where we could really see in the way we should see what is really happening in this hour. Because that is what brings faith. Faith don't come by what happened yesterday. Faith don't come by what's going to happen tomorrow. Faith come by a revelation what's taking place now in your day. Because it puts you under expectation, make you live every day for him. Because you see what he's doing and you're expecting him to you know, do it in your own life. And you know, your real confidence, your rest is when these things is taking place in your life. Amen. When you are yielded to his will, when you know his will, when you understand his will. Because the Bible says, be you not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Because redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Amen. And the darkness is upon the face of the earth. And we're living in times like these that, you know, daily you look around and you see the things happening and it almost shakes you. What is the world coming to? Amen. Lawlessness and breaking forth. And more and more in a greater way, swallowing up the society. It's becoming such a lawless society that it breeds fear. See, it breeds insecurity because you have what you call right in the police services complaining. They don't have enough policemen to deal with the crime. Yet every year it's more and more police, more and more, more and more. And the jails are becoming overcrowded. I have a little message I want to bring on some of those things. Just like flashing red lights, just to keep you in mind, keep it in your thinking of the things that is happening and maybe some of the things that you don't realize that is shaping. And because remember, hell is being created on the earth. It's going to come where it's going to be fully hell. Yes, sir. You see, it's still a degree of difference from the real hell here and hell here. Because what is there is pouring out, is flowing over. But then the whole thing will be covered, it will be no difference. You see, because the one that is restrained, that restraining power is still here. Still here because the church is still here. His bride is still here. So it's restraining still. But when it's taken out of the way, then it'll be something different. See, that's why we, you know, a Christian steps out there with faith and they do things and they walk believing, you know, and they have confidence because they sense the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is here with them. The Lord himself has come down. By revelation, they know he's here. Amen. They know he's doing a work and they are part of his work. And they know death cannot touch them until God is finished with them. Amen. Because no, by and through the members of their bride, that work is going to be finished. God gives, have found the places and is finding the places. Amen. Amen. And is identifying his word in this hour. He protecting these gifts to fulfill his word. Hallelujah. It is to reveal him in this age. Hallelujah. It is to show his victory and the reason of his death. He's watching over it. And once he identifies you as part of one of his gifts, his love gifts in this day, amen. Once he identifies that in you have the characteristics to identify his promised word, amen. Then you know once that predestined mystery in your life is being revealed and confirmed by the word, and you know you are one of them chosen ones, there's a confidence in your heart that nothing can happen to you except God allow it. Amen. Let me tell you, that's where your faith comes by. That's where you have your repellent for fear. Yes. Otherwise, you look over your back every minute. Everything you're going to do, you have a phobia, like it's a fear there. Yeah. But when he has shown you, I have called you. I have chosen you. You're in my hand. No man will pluck you out of my hand. Yeah. Amen. Let me tell you, there almost comes like a reckless faith. Not almost, there's a reckless faith. That's there. Amen. That brother, you step out there, regardless of what, God will take care of it. You're not going to be pushed in no corner by no fear and you know, and you'll be a coward there and you're always scared. No. Either God called you, either God can take care of you or not. I am your shield. Amen. I told Abraham that, and he knew, he knows the power of fear. That's why he gives faith, something far more powerful to deal with fear. That's why his love, his elective love, takes the fear out of the believer. He knew how to shed abroad that love by the revelation of his word in your heart. Break the spirit of fear and bondage. He knows when the prophet came, he says, he discerned the spirit of fear. He says, the greatest plague I find in the church is fear among the people. They're always afraid of it going to happen. They're always afraid of this and afraid of that. And what did God do? Open the seven seals. Yeah. God brought a revelation. Amen. Yeah. And revelation brings faith. Yeah. Amen. And that faith, look, they brought up like the children of Israel. They look at the red, and begin to bawl and scream, oh God, Moses, what me down in a grave in Egypt. You bring us out, you're going to kill us and everything else. Best we stay back in Egypt. Look where we are now, we're going to perish. Yeah. And Moses, dear, look at us, that red, look at that army there. Look at them Egyptian faces and say, stand still. Amen. The Lord will fight for you. Amen. This day you'll see the Egyptians no more. Amen. Let me tell you, under the inspiration that was upon the man of the time, the man of the whole mighty army that was generating fear in 2.5 million people, and he was surrounded by a presence that fear couldn't touch him, and he prophesied the death and the doom right there in that moment. Oh, that we can live in that atmosphere. Amen. Oh, that we can live in that channel. Let me tell you, it's a channel right here. It's a channel open to believers. Look at Jesus. He said, the hour is come. The Son of Man will be delivered in the hands of sinful men. Amen. They're going to smite the shepherd now. Amen. He said, they're going to do me all kinds of things in Jerusalem. He knew the scriptures. Amen. He said, but destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it back up. Amen. But he broke into a channel. The man's faith was anointed. Yes, sir. Look at Paul in that Roman jail. Yeah, brother seen death and something struck his heart. Yeah. Inspiration, the man was living the scriptures. Yeah. The man that is abiding in the word. He was a love of the word. He knew his strength was in the word. He saw Moses tell Joshua, meditate in the day and night. He told Timothy, meditate in this, give yourself wholly unto this doctrine. It wouldn't save you alone, it will save others also. Commit these things unto faithful men that could teach others. But he had such inspiration. He looked at death, look at those things. He said, oh, death, where's your strength? And oh, grave, where's your victory? Let me tell you something that strikes the soul. That soul, brother, is so filled with the realization of eternity. Yeah. It's so filled with the realization of eternal life. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. That death can't come nowhere near it. Amen. Yeah. Alive forevermore. Yeah. Jesus said, I have the keys of death and hell. Amen. Yeah. Brother, you don't have to be worried about it. And our divine revelation coming into your soul. Yeah. Amen. The presence of God. They live in that atmosphere. Yeah. Elijah said, oh God, open the boy's eyes. Yeah. There's more with us, son. We are afraid about, amen. We all scared and nervous. You think I ain't seen them Syrians too? But I'm seeing something far greater than the Syrians is here. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me tell you, they were seen through the eye gate, and those images coming into the mind, because the eye is to pick up images. Exactly what? Wait. How can the images come on the screen of a television from another country? It's because the camera eye, just pick up that image and then transmit the image. And the image is what you're dealing with. The image is what your senses relate to. Your senses don't really relate to the spirit. You see, your eye can't see a man's spirit. I don't see you and you don't see me. Amen. But we see in the house one another living in. Amen. But you in that house. That's your only tabernacle. Yeah. You never really see me and I never really see you. Yeah. We can only see one another in the world. Yeah. When we get there, show one another spirit. Yeah. Identify what kind of spirit is in that temple here. Yeah. So you can call me here, sit and do what you want. This eye will catch that, sure. Yeah. But then when that soul gets there, that soul will even look at that. Yeah. That soul is going to feel the pull of faith. Yeah. Amen. When the prophet gets there, but the place packed thousands of people. You think he's going to buy that? He's like, no, not at all. He's standing here. He waits for the pull of faith. He said, oh my, there's a lot of faith here. I feel the faith in that corner down there. Amen. But then he gets there and he called somebody out. He don't relate to the crowd. He don't know how well it is. He don't know how the Bible over the heart, so. He relate that when he did, and that soul break into that dimension and being anointed by the pillar of fire, he's relating the faith with the other souls of the people. Because faith is in the soul, not the body. Faith is in that soul. Amen. And I keep speaking some of these things that it helps take some of them chains off your mind and realize the world is a spirit world. These things, supernatural things, is happening in the next realm. It is only come out here in the physical realm of the eye to see the manifestation, the result of the spirit realm. Because for you to see something here, it takes faith to move that first. And that's unseen, moving the unseen. Faith is cast out the devil. Then the tumor pass out. So that's only the result of what is invisible. You know what I'm saying? But you have no faith, can't cast out that devil, which is unseen there to begin with. Then you keep seeing your symptoms. So that way, no bluff it. It's that revelation through his word. He removed the darkness in our mind and brings us into the channel that we can live conscious of this world. Amen. And you know when why you think it's just teaching that God teaches body, spirit, soul, all these things? No. That's not just like teaching to draw three circles and those things. No. That is to bring a consciousness how man in a certain environment could relate to have dominion over that environment. See? What part of the man is where you have to concentrate on? Where you have to put the emphasis? Because this world is designed to keep in the five senses and keep you trying to take care of this body. You watch your whole world today. Women don't want to get old. All women, they're trying to put a cream and this and that, everything for the physical body. And you know what? Nothing. It's dying daily. And when Jesus came, he said, watch shall suffer a man again the whole world and lose a soul. When Jesus came, he showed right away where he was on, brother, he was on the soul. Amen. 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 See, that's what he was dealing on. Came to get them souls, preaching the mystery. I call my sheep by the name, he says. Amen. But by the word he was preaching, he was hunting out them seed. Amen. See, tell them Jews in St. John, he said, if you're the Abraham seed, you'd have received my word. But you can't receive my word at all because there's no place in my word in you. Because there's no bed and ground, in other words, to plant the seed. That's what you're saying. Have no egg in there for the sperm to link up with to produce a promise of the edge. Amen. So he was operating on a different level. And then those things that laid in the Bible like mystery have been opened up to us in this hour through the message. The message come and open that up to us that when we look into the word now. You see, don't try to read the word and then can't see out here. No. The whole thing about knowing this word is to know what's out here. That's why Christians are trying to bury the head in the Bible and then walk and get tapped in the world. Yes. Sure. Yes. You're missing the whole thing. Yes. That is the fight here. Yes. That is the understand here. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. See? That's why I said the man who have a revelation, you walk in this world conscious because your revelation is to give you power to overcome. Yes. And faith is a victory that overcometh this world. Yes. Amen. Yes. But you know, what a quicksand. But under that quicksand, it has some rocks placed a certain way, a certain part to put your foot on and come right out. Yeah. Amen. Like a whole minefield. Yeah. But an explosive planted everywhere. Yeah. Could blow you up if you step in any place. Yeah. Like in the water, do that. They plant a lot of mines. Everything look like grass and everything else, and you walk out there having a good time. But you could get blown up. Yeah. But I'm out of a map at the minefield. I know every mine is planted, but you know exactly how to walk. Yeah. See? Like last night I was preaching there. But the Nimrod, the mighty hunter of the 20th century, showing that Nimrod was a mighty hunter, but a hunter of the souls of men. Yeah. And we took the word hunt and show what hunting really is, what is a hunter. And we showed through the Bible and different scriptures where it's about hunting the souls of people. Yeah. And a hunter to be a skillful man. Yeah. But he goes out. Well, the first thing a hunter to know is which part of the territory, the game he's hunting is going to be. Yeah. Second thing, you have to have the kind of ammunition to deal with what he's hunting. Yeah. You think you're going to a little pellet rifle and shoot a little bird with to go and shoot a bear? you better have the right type of bullet, highly explosive bullet. Then you got to know to kill him. The bird said, bam, shoot him in his back. That bear, he said, paralyze him one time. Go if you wound him and he ain't dead, without for a shot. He says, I'm not like an angry grizzly. He said, them ain't no turn back, you know. Brother, you go tell them, hunting them elephants and rhinoceros and these things. You have to know the behavioral patterns of them. And then sometimes they're hunting and man hunting a certain animal. And he himself, some of these animals are so tricky that the man can't trust his own senses to hunt it. He needs a super sense. So he'll get certain tracker dogs that have a more refined sense of smell than the man. You know what I'm saying? No, he's using the dog sense as his sense. That's an aid to his sense to deal with what he's tracking. You know what I'm saying? And then some of them animals, if they've been tracked, they know to throw them off too. They know to throw the trackers off. See? And because the thing with animals, when an animal is accustomed to a certain terrain, a certain environment God give it, it happens not like the animal doesn't know its environment, you know. But he's a little squirrel, he said a dart and dug through some trees and jumped and leave and run down a hole and come back to the next place, a rabbit or something. You want to know how he know where every hole is? Some of you try to run a little rat in your own home, in your own kitchen somewhere. Brother, after a while, that rat in every little corner, you think you can get through that rat? It tells you something. Now, this may sound a little humorous, but I say, when you get quick into things. When you look and you see, it is so unique. It's some of the animals, they know the survival depends on knowing the environment. Amen. They live by the instinct, by the senses. Amen. And a man who's hunting, no, it has hunters and hunters. You know that?
Yeah.
Just like that Christian and Christians.
Yeah.
Amen. All Israel is not Israel. Amen. And those are the real hunters.
Yeah.
They study the game. When is there a hunter? As I said, the prophet. He's the has 7 bullets, but maybe not all the time, but a peregrine say once he's a hunter when you observe that. Use 6 bullets. He had 7, use 6. To get his sighting on his gun. And he keep the 7 bullet for his game. And he go out in the woods to hunt. One shell! And he told some brothers once, which I heard this from some brothers, that a real hunter could go out there and look at the refined skill of hunting he's talking about. Remember, people be shooting things all in the side and happy, and when he gets it in the eye, he's to cry. I mean, say, you don't want to get an eye shut, because you ain't hypnotizing the animal and say, stand up there and look at me with your eye this way. No. You got to be so knowing the woods and the environment and knowing the animal to position. So every move is like, well, you know what they call it in dancing? Choreography. Every move is well orchestrated. All right. When you, this martial arts, people who see martial arts, every move means something. Yeah, I'm nothing like moving. Like Paul said, no fight is beating the air.
Yeah.
Every move is precise. Yeah. It has certain moves to throw off your enemy, certain moves to lower your enemy, certain moves to put you in position after 2 moves to strike the lethal blow.
Yeah.
No, that is how it is. That is science. And he said, a man to the hunt will go out in the woods and take a camera. And you can get right up, maybe in front of the land, pack and shoot him with the camera instead of a gun. Get in position and just take the shot. If that men don't want to get that close when you're hunting. You have a high-powered rifle with an infrared lens or something in the night, whether it's night or day, you shoot it from a distance, because you're a hunter, but you still have fear, you don't get too close. But this Nimrod, he wasn't a hunter. Babylon was about 2 hunters, as far as I know. Esau was a cunning, skillful hunter, but he's mostly hunt game, venison and these things. Because to hunt them animals, it takes real skill. Because the Bible says, at the heart, panted after the water brook.
Yeah.
See, you don't catch them deer like that. They still have speed, and they could smell. See, and they pick up the attacker at a distance. But the thing now, Nimrod, they say he was a mighty hunter in the earth.
Yeah.
He was the top.
Yeah.
But it is a spiritual, a religious connotation. In other words, it's implying a religious meaning when they say hunter. In the book. It's not implying just natural hunting. Oh, sure, it's a hunting too, but it wasn't talking about hunting. It's real hunting was when he said to conquer people, conquer nations, conquer cities.
Yeah.
Plus, he's conquer animals, but that's nothing.
Amen.
But you are such a one that he built an army. Because he can apply the same hunting principles to people instead of hunt man.
Amen.
As I said last night, you have a detective, he just hunt a man. The man hunt on. Criminals loose, they set a dragnet for them. And then they sometimes they deal with a very highly sophisticated criminal too. Maybe not the ordinary break and enter kind of person. They're dealing with somebody who is operating at a higher level than maybe the police forces. Maybe he's trained in certain type of ammunition. Arms and ammunition, these things. And to hunt person, people like that is a different thing altogether. See? So then, you know, hunting can go far. But this man was such a hunter. And it says, a hunter to set up traps sometimes. That bear trap to trap them bear and they camouflage it. In the old days, when you see, before all the sophisticated weapons was invented, when man's a hunter, a little bow and arrow, something like that outside there. And some Red Indians going a buffalo hunt or something. And they had to get close in because how far you could shoot with an arrow. See? And then, or throw a spear or something, you gotta get close into your animal. When they're hunting elephants back in the jungle in the old days. So man had to so know the animal that they're hunting and the ways of the animal. So if you're a man there dealing with something very close, and you don't know why he is so comfortable. No, because certain animals make a certain way and they function that way. It's another way to function. So once you know what they wouldn't do, you can get right into them. Because they know them. And this man was such a mighty hunter. And I was showing there last night how he conquered. He went forth conquering and to conquer. And conquered all them cities round about and brought them under his dominion. Until there was one in the earth. And he was like a man of sin. He was like a devil incarnate over all who he had. And he's bringing them now to pay tribute to his city. Because he had three things. He wanted to build a name, build a strong nation. And he wanted to spread his religion to the earth. And he accomplished them three things. He did. Everybody had to have his religion when he conquered them. Everybody had to have his name when he conquered them. But isn't that what happened today? They'll all have the name of the beast. They'll all have the religion of the beast. They'll all worship the beast. They'll all pay tribute to one city. It's exactly the same thing. You know why? Because that's a seed. As the prophet said, that was only a type of what is coming back in these last days. And Sunday we are sticking there how it's linking up the whole world, how to the fourth dimension had to be open for this age. And I trust that those things don't make it complicated. I'm trying to make it simple in things that you're familiar with in this hour. And I'm preaching, you know, these things in the light of that as a believer, you're simple and you can understand things in a simple way. I think I know I don't know it in a complicated way. Because what how I see it is very in a very juvenile way. I don't have no knowledge of these things as far as science wise. But the thoughts in the word that is opening up, I'm trying to project it to the things that I can make it real to you, illustrate it to you. Because it's happening again today. But how could you really see that mighty one conquering, going for the conquering the world? Could you really see how he's setting his traps? Could you really see how when you trap a, you walk in a zone, you see a trap leopard, you see a trap zebra, you see a trap gorilla, you see a trap lion, you see a trap tiger. Now each one have a different spirit. Each one have a different behavioral pattern. And to hunt each one of them, it means you have to know the nature and the behavior and the characteristic of each one of them, because you have their own territory too. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So when you see a Baptist, you see a Methodist, you see a Pentecostal, you see all of them, and they're into the World Council of Churches, somebody who is able to conquer each one of them, who is able to study them and set the right thing for them and bring them under influence, yeah, to give the support to it. Yeah. Exactly right. And you look out there in the world, and then you see each person have a different kind of vice, a different kind of taste. Some like clothes. Some like hair, do they mind what they wear, but it's a new hairstyle every day. Some like shoes, like Imelda Marcos. They have a weakness for shoes. Shoe. You ain't gonna see a pair of shoes. Some maybe like to dance. Oh, like Nelly Sanders. They can't hear music at all. They have a hole on their feet. What it is?
He set traps out there too. But the traps he's setting. Let me tell you, he was a master of astrology. That's his art. That's what God said, don't win at all. That's Satan's art. Oh, you think you don't want man know human nature? Man know who cardinal and who mutal and who fix? Is the devil know that? Sure. And if you bring yourself in bondage to that, he tell you like that because you're fixed. You like that because you're mutual. And you say, yeah, I like it. I saw it. Is. I had to stay in all sorts of ways to get Holy Ghost to control that. Yes, sir. My new birth, give me the Holy Ghost to control that. Yes, sir, but I've got nature too. I am mine alone. I've got on. And I delight myself after that law. You know what I'm saying? Because brother, listen to me. When he studied our human nature and that behavioral pattern, every fad that comes out, the new craze, the new fad, you think, let me show you something. Whenever something comes out from Satan realm, it is core. He don't bring it out. Even yesterday, brother, the idea it just flop and nobody never follow it. The multitude is fall out. You know why? He studies the nature. He engineers the conditions to make them want something like that. And then he brings it out to meet the taste. Exactly right. And so, knowing the nature, he know what type of a trap to set. So that mighty hunter is hunting the souls of man. That's when you hear a man say, fall, get a trap. It's a trap set and set for him. David talked about snares and pitfalls, and not laying wait for my soul. Is that right? Yes. But he's someone. He's someone that battle. He's on people trying to capture him in war. Is that right? Yes. He's someone that delivers from the snare of the fowler. You know the snare of the fowler? Is a bird catcher. Yes. Man could trap eagle and put in cage. Yes. Sure. Man could trap the dove, woo them, and trap them. And it doesn't he have his people caged today? Yeah, yeah. But do you want to beat each other like that by a house of hell? Yeah. Oh, we want to be delivered, we want to be delivered. Yeah. And the Holy Spirit say, there are many people in them cages, in them house of hell. Yeah. That is good people and need to be delivered. Yeah. Because in the denominational system, he cages them. Yeah. And let me tell you, when you cage the animals, what do you do? They put a tag on them, a brand. Yeah. To show the owner. Yeah. You know, it's a brand cattle. Or they put a tag in the air and say, this animal belongs to the Emperor Valley Zoo. Or this animal belongs to this here. Feed this. And feed this animal this. Exactly right. And the whole thing, there's a specimen that they have an exhibit afterwards. But the same way, in the denominational system of the world, in the pleasure of the world that they have set. Let me tell you, it's Satan building. It didn't happen. It's a man building to come out of a man mind. And it has been successful in the whole in man in the five senses where he's caged to. Yes. Mighty hunting the earth, hunting the souls of men, bringing them into captivity, capturing them. But you go to a discotheque or something, that a trap set. You see a fashion, that a trap set. Sure, you see all them balls, all them showcases, that is trap set. You call them kind of sleazy sports car and different things. That's a trap set. Sure. That deal with a certain spirit. He is setting his traps. And the same way that, brother, you see them animals there. You know, today the animals of the world is becoming extinct. Some species already extinct. You know why? Poachers, trappers. Man, they desire to hunt. Capture. Sure. Exactly. When we put the word hunt out means even persecute. How are they going to hunt down the bride? Find them out wherever they are. Whether they're in the basement, they hunt them out all over the catacombs. They hunt them out all in the every secret place they gather. They hunt them out. They hunt them out. They flee from one continent to another continent. They have to flee. Like Paul and them have to flee from persecution from one tongue to the next. Sure. Let me tell you, watch history and you watch the Bible. And you see the nature of man, and you see the way the devil operates, there's nothing new under the sun. Things just take a cycle over and over and over. Amen. Now I'm saying here in the 20th century, the whole thing has happened today. Exactly what happened at Babel is coming right back. One speech and one language in these things. And you know, you think that last time, how these are them old pictures, like with the serpent, with the apple in the mouth, and Eve stand there by the tree, and she's going to take it off the tree, serpent, the mouth of the serpent. And it was a lot of them artists paint that. And then that projected a certain understanding, that image brought a certain understanding. And that image controlled the whole religious world since apple, the word apple written in the Bible. Show the power of an image coming to the mind. You know what I'm saying? Get on the subconscious, that'll make people believe that way. Because it looked reasonable to them. But it just showed the beginning of what a man's imagination was struck with to paint that picture. And show where that inspiration come from to begin with. Well, they had the next one, they had about 200-300 people. But building a big, like a tower, you know, out in a desert. A big tower going up like that. And a man telling you, pass the shovel. And he handed the bucket. He's going to say, pass the cement. And he handed some brick or something. Because this one talking in Chinese, and this one talking in Russian, this one talking in English. And they had that for the Tower of Babel. So everybody get a kind of concept that that's what happened at Babel. The Bible never said it. Bible never really revealed. Because you talk about, you think we're here, and God want to confuse us. We come in here, you know, maybe have a wrong mood, and God want to confuse everybody talking different things. One told your wife and children, who everybody's going to build a building. When you going to build a building? You need no children there. You need highly skilled people. You have your labor force. They were highly organized people. Look at the people come out of the ark. They had known the first civilization, and they know the next civilization too. They had known the height of science and mathematics and building, because Noah himself built an ark. See, you can't look at the Bible through 7 days, ideas, and these things. That's nonsense. It is true to reveal the word since the seven seals have opened. See, because that's the type of this day, and surely this day is not that kind of thing going on. Nimrod conquering Saul. You know what I'm saying? He uniting the world soul. No, not at all. See? It shows how much we believe pictures, a little thing that flash right in the mind. Except the world don't really filter those things out. We work with that kind of concept. See? So what the man went, you say when the man leave home, and he went home like maybe 50 miles from the work site, where his house is. He meet his wife home, and she was talking Chinese at the same time. Because something struck them. They wasn't talking the original language. You know what I'm saying? I mean, expand your mind a little bit and you realize it's nonsense to visualize that kind of theory. But watch. Today, now, the word is in a condensed form. And it must make sense. You see, this is a positive and that is a negative. And when you develop a picture in the dark room, you better make it two come together. When you bring your anti-type and your type, because remember your type make up for your anti-type. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you gotta find that seed reproduce. If that's a seed in Genesis, you gotta find that seed reproduce here the same way down there. Yeah. Okay, I leave it. That team kind of somebody just kind of watch me a certain kind of way, like I talking strange things. You know what I mean? And because you want to hold on to the little 7 days idea, which nobody ever teaches you, the prophet didn't teach you, but yet some of you holding on to it. Yeah. That's what Schofield the other night. Half the time you read about Schofield and you never read the truth about it in the message. So you can't Schofield thought. You don't get pregnant with Schofield idea because you read that. Because you find the message that says the right thing yet, but a particular truth. Yeah. And when you hear the truth come forth, maybe the minister mightn't quote the book or quote the tape. So you're still there thinking maybe like he brings his own thought now because you know the truth that Schofield say. Yeah. Sure. You ought to know what the messenger say. Because I read about 7 different quotes last night from the message showing you it was a false unity at Babel. It was a religious worship. He went out and conquered them and bring them there. Exactly right. And when God said, behold their one language. My. Now we get, look at the purpose to do. He said, we can't learn to have them at all. It was, let me tell you, one language was an achievement. Can I read the scriptures to show you where children had their own tongues? See? And they came there. But the thought I'm bringing to you is how societies change. War and conquest has changed the world. But wars today, it have all kind of wars. Let me tell you, scriptural war changed our life. Scriptural war making us dress different. Scriptural war making us believe different. I remember when we come in the message, and we said the message, but I had a middle part, long hair, a beard, and I try to look like a Jesus in the Hoffman head or something. See, my vision of a prophet was a man like Charlton Heston and Ten Commandments, coming up the monkey with a staff and a robe. See, I look at the subconscious clothes and vision and the word and these things. I look at the image that I deal with was the physical image. Because it just shows I'm the flesh, because the eye can only pick up the physical image. Amen. But if I'm dealing from the realm of soul, then I'll pick up what Moses was the word. Amen. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Now, once you're already born again, yes. Your camera is only function from fear. Amen. Then Paul said, you walk by sight and not by faith. Amen. So walk by faith, you'll get a new birth, and then you look at things that are unseen. Amen. Then you pick up a different image. And then what you pick up influences different because you're dealing not with the physical image, you're dealing with the spirit of the person. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? May I have a about God? Okay, listen, I got locked here, so I can't stop here right now. But listen to me a little bit. We love the Lord, amen? Yeah. we love His word. See, you can't look off inspiration. It's inspiration. So watch something. So here it is now. When it comes in the message, I remember the thoughts I pick off of the message. But I walk in my mother's bedroom and she have a novena and burn a candle and a St. Anthony who named me after a wall. We start tearing all the thing and throw the thing outside and put our mother in subjection and tell her, Mommy, you can't have this in this house. You're the devil. We didn't know how to deal with it before, you know, in a more... a refined way. But sometimes God is one of the crude ways too. Yes. I'm not propagating you go and do that. You know what I'm saying? But just give a testimony of what happened, my experience. What's causing it? Something had taken over my mind. A new way of thinking. That again from the message, which was seeds of the message, projecting God a different way to where we should get in the Anglican church. And where should we get into unity and Catholic and Anglican mixed up together. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So then now, the house had been revolutionized. Then my dressings changed. See? And then our speech changed. Our language changed. We now talk message language, prophet and age and, you know, different things, a whole different way. Anointing and, you know, different terminologies coming out of our vocabulary. What's causing it? War. Look in the Bible here, Daniel and them was captured by Nebuchadnezzar. And they were taking the Babylon as captives. But the Babylonians, if they were only interested in gold and wealth, they were going to plunder the gold and wealth, kill everybody and go to business. They had another interest, propagating the religion. Propagating the sciences. What did happen to the wedding Trinidad and this one getting influenced in America and all the Caribbean, the CARICOM, and they have Caribbean based initiative and all the different things to try to get them in and, you know, bring them together, see, and give them foreign aid and bring up the leaders up in the White House and put them in the Oval Office there or some special office that are going to talk to them and, you know, anoint them with certain spirits and send them back here. Sure. And then they sort of spread it around in the country here. Send it to the political parties, send it to the youth groups. Then hit all over the country in the constituencies. Sure. What's going to be happening? Then in the state-controlled media, then the project allow the influence to give it top coverage. Getting the message across to the minds of the people. But as I say, war today is a different kind of war.
But I'm trying to show how war have changed the world, changed nations, changed the lifestyles, which is what I wanted to bring here tonight, because I'm thinking a little about the battle for the mind. The battle for the mind. That's what it is. Who have the minds of the people? Have the most power, have more influence, and everything else. See? And you could propagate your cause. No, when they want to project the sciences, project the ideas, they get the elite. As the Bible says, they took certain of the children of Israel. They have teachers. Pass them, line them up. What's your name, boy? So. They know right away what kind of material they have, who they can deal with. Then they say, get all the kings who would be under special tutor since the small. Because in each nation, what do they give scholarship in school for? Different type of tests and things. To find out and pick out the certain ones in the country. And you find out where the nucleus of your brain is in your country. You look at certain schools and find out which schools producing your best students, making the highest grades. They have all that there. Then they know who to woo and give certain jobs in the government to keep the nation growing. Then why they're trying to woo a lot of people to come back to Trinidad? Because they call it brain drain. When they leave the country, all the brains, all the intellect, who they spend years training in school, subjects, educational programs, and they leave. Then the country have people holding jobs, yes, but the work is not being done. Because they're not really trained, they're not really qualified. They don't really have the experience to deal with it. And the ones who they train for and become the professionals, then they leave and they go on for money outside, a more lucrative offer. So that has been the way of the world. So here now, Nebuchadnezzar now, when he captured them, he began to look them through. And then they pick out the elite. And they begin to train them, the Bible says here, that they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. The tongue, the language. In doing that, you give your language predominance. You make the world communicate on your level. You propagate your cause, your science, your education, your way of life. And it's what they was doing here. And that is why Babylon, this is Babylon in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, but Babylon really started in the time of Nimrod. But here it was the world power. It was the head of gold. It was the greatest on the earth. But I'm trying to show, look here, these were Israelites now. Born Israelite with the heritage of Moses, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses. With the laws and the commandments of God. With the way of life, with the feasts and the holy days. And that is what they were to teach to the children. Now look something also, come to me. Right here in the slave trade in the West Indies. Okay, it's the same thing. They went and they capture people. Bring them to another environment. Take over their identity. All ties from home. Nobody can remember the name. After a few generations, parents and ancestors have been, there wasn't any educational standard to know how detrimental that will be to their own people. So they never keep instilling in them their true identity as a heritage to bring down. That one day you may go free, and then you'll be able to know your roots. So what's happening in this generation? Everybody's got a certain identity. Everybody wants to go back to the roots. Everybody wants to go back and dress a certain way, walk a certain way, talk a certain way, rename themselves, different things. It's trying to link back up with your heritage. Because you find out you can't function properly and effectively as the man you are remolded to be. Because you're remolded to be that to fulfill somebody else's purposes. To be a tool for somebody else. Another type of system. You understand me? So then when you get advocates raised up and we're going to preach your identity. We're going to preach your cause. But the system keep branding them as of the devil and different things and they're trying to confuffle your mind. But they've seen how important it is for a man to find his true identity. And we know that in the natural year, that new identity came about by conquest. And form a new society. Now, look at that from the African other time to the slave trade. No, we begin in this realm here is happening today. No nation is going nowhere now. They ain't got all their guns and the captain nobody bring them here. But they're transmitting it to the fourth dimension. So it's so much more deceptive. You're staying right here and getting conquered by a power, another power. Yeah.
when it enters the mind, if you can't deal with it in the mind, it gets into the subconscious and becomes a product. You see a man down here, some of the brothers here, I don't say this, please, oh God, forgive me, but it comes to my mind. Don't let me bypass it. Somebody who feels get hurt. Help me, Holy Ghost. Yes, sir. Now watch. You find with all these things projected, and you get a hold of the mind, brother, we do things and we behave a different way. Oh, it's something else. So now you see a man down here riding a motorbike with a big black jacket and all this type of leather with silver studs and different things. Look, you never see a tree that like that. You know what I'm saying? You see a Santa Claus or something with all the red on the rain, and they put cotton for snow and different things. And because it shows how the mind under control and that they behave that way every Christmas time. The house even a chimney self without a big stocking somewhere there. They even have a fireplace. You understand? They stay right here and get conquered from somewhere else. Now they're trying to say, you don't need all these currants and these things. They bring popcorn, they cut it up and dye different colors, so put it in your cake instead. When they make it fruit cake, then they stop making apple and grapes. They say, you don't need that. Eat pomsitan and tamarind and different things. That is local Christmas. Christmas, not a painted Christmas cake, it's sunshine. A sunny Christmas, because they're only dreaming about a white Christmas. No, what they're dealing with is a slavery of the mind. And the same way, it happened in religion too, because the Nicolaitans, when they conquer the laity, they bring them onto a Babylonian way of worship. Amen. Separate them from God and the leadership of the Holy Ghost. And they make them call it Baptist and Methodist and these things. But it's a slavery of the mind. But there's a great emancipator coming in the last days. Hallelujah! Glory! Revelation 10:1. When them seven thunders under their voices, brother, you watch the bride wake up! Hallelujah! You watch man and woman come to the real identity. You watch man and woman know who they really are. When God begins to put them thoughts into the mind, they begin to get down in their heart, and they begin to recognize their position in the Word. Amen.
Wonderful, wonderful.
But it'll be a different thing altogether. It'll be a different thing altogether. So what has changed people's lives? I will stop there. What has changed people's lives? Because if I go, I'll be getting too late. Amen. But you see what I'm talking about, don't you? Sure. Transmitted a different type of conquering and changing the lifestyle, breaking up everything that was there before, societies, families, everything, changing it up. And look at what people use for play. Look at the kind of games people play today. In your great grandfather, they had no video games. Nobody going to arcade and doing all those things. Anybody going to get high? Someone going to get high? Some old pumps, their wine or something to make or. Now it's LSD and cocaine and heroin and it's a different age. Yeah. Look at the dances. You think some of the old people can try a break dance? Or a moonwalk or something? Where'd it come from? It take over the people's minds. I'm trying to show you, his image is projected. And Lord help me. When Cyrus signed the decree for them to go out, many of the Jews never went. To them, the new air life was better. What came into them, what they was exposed to, what they was taught, it make you ever wonder how children of Israel have worship cry for Tammuz, which was Nimrod. When God showed Ezekiel the hole in the wall, he said, behold, a hole in the wall, digging it. I mean, digging that hole had a door. And into that door, he took me to another realm within Israel. We have found a hole in the wall too. The wall between natural and supernatural. Being to see things as we dig in that hole, is that door opening up to show another world, another realm, brother. You were seeing things in the spirit. You see what was happening. You were seeing how the seat of Molech. Remember God told him, don't let it teach you all the divinations, different things. Because God knew to be exposure to it, it means the senses will begin to contact it. And then they're going to take in these things and they're going to start to torment them. Yes. And when men are down to faith and it's going to lead their soul away from God, when the time comes, they run by a seer man or they run by astrologer or they look at these things. Yeah. And Israel was laden with it. Why? But look, Daniel and them was down here. And they will not defile themselves. Yeah. They was in the midst of all of it! Yeah. But they are repentant! I trust I'm talking to Daniels and Shadrachs and Meshachs and Abednego's here tonight. Amen! Nothing was going to control the mind. Nothing was going to enslave them to a new way of thinking. Amen! When time to pray, they open the window and they pray to the God in the country. Hallelujah! They're going to bow down to no image in these things here. And all these images that they're coming today through the fourth dimension. Conquering them, enslaving them, capturing them, bringing them under some type of influence. Some will say, me, I only like maybe a certain type of a perfume. I like Arian, or I like, you know, maybe some certain type of clothes. I like a certain type of shoes. Your mind get captured by a certain influence. People compete for you. You start to make things into a place where it shapes your life. You become like a agent, a dedicated personnel to display the goods of somebody. And when the time comes, you have to get the latest one that come out in that. And if that four come out, you want the four because you want to be a dedicated representative of a certain factory or a certain firm or brand name or something. And what happens? You're taking the name and begin to worship them too, and you begin to pay tribute to the product. Sure. And then anyway, you feel a little better than the person wearing less. Because in the advertisement, they tell you it can't be compared with cheap impersonations. So it kind of build your ego. Because you see, the advertisement is an attraction to capture your attention. But when it catches your attention, there's a voice that speaks a message. Exactly. Now God is dealing with the same thing. It's a law. God attracts the attention with the gifts. And when you get the attention, there's a message that speaks to put the word in the subconscious mind. That was going to change them. And that's why those things deal with the senses for attraction. But in this great battle of life, this great warfare that's changing the world, this great conquest of this great mighty hunter that's in the earth today, conquering and taking over and reshaping the lives of people, redesigning them, making them like things they don't like just because it's fashionable. You see some people wear some clothes, they look so ridiculous in it. You want to know if in the right mind, what the mirrors tell them when they say, mirror, mirror, how I am looking, to step out to the street. It's something else. But the mind have been captured. Exactly right. The mind have been captured. And when you see these things, you realize the type of age, the type of society that's been formed is going to reflect exactly what was in that fifth dimension. May God, through the revelation of the seven seals, so inspire our hearts that we will not be conformed to this world, but we'll be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And as the Holy Spirit, in a simple way, open these things to you, to realize the type of age we're living in, the mind age, and the battle in the mind, and why we must defend our Christian heritage. Well, we had a fight to keep this thing pure and pure and not polluted and spotted. Amen. Yeah. The
That there can be a real, genuine display of the true character of Christ. Amen. In our lives. That will show we totally separate from all unbelief. That we have won that battle. Satan with his worldly wisdom was not able to pollute our thinking and defile our way of life. But we stayed true to walk by faith. Looking to the things that are unseen. Amen. The greater realities. Because he's trying to change you. Try to control the mind. Oh, he's having a great success in the world. But we have something. A repellent. And that's why I'm spraying you with tonight. That it keeps you sprayed up. That you'll be immune to those things there. And you will know why it is. It's necessary to walk through. Because, you know, look right now. You already hear them complaining. Play more local songs in the radio. Put more local shows. You already hear all the singers. Give recognition to all local artists. Yeah. Do something. Why? Because they find too much of the foreign thing coming in and capturing the mind and changing the lives of the people. Yeah. That they want to live like they're up there and they're down here. Yeah. And then the system can't offer them that. So the problem. That was the denomination, when the world conquered the denomination. See, they had one of them had a Christian testimony. Baptist mess, every one of them. Under John Smith, the Baptists had a real testimony. See, the Nazarenes had a real testimony under the Campbellites and them there. See? Sure. They on the Pentecost, on the Sabbath, they had a real testimony under William Seymour and them. But they all became captured and the world came in. And then the world started to take over and then they had to have a place for the world. New lifestyles had to become acceptable because their mind began to be conquered. And already in the message, in many places, standards and lifestyles are changing to accommodate this because people's minds have been overpowered. Because many people don't know how to deal with that battle that is taking over the minds of many people. And may God help us here to war a good warfare. That we will not be brought into captivity. But we will bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And the image that will be most predominant here will be the image of Jesus Christ. That we'll be changed from glory unto glory into that image. I believe there are many here who are predestined to be conformed into that image. Amen. This is the hour when they'll stand. Because that's the image that's going to speak. He said, how could you speak if you're not in the image? And that's why he brings that image to speak, to become his representation. Here upon the face of the earth, to become his reflection this hour. Amen. To approve his word one more time in this generation. Let's all stand up. Amen. Oh, blessed be his wonderful name. He was nailed to the cross for me. He was nailed to the cross for me on the cross, crucified. It was for me that Jesus died. Let his precious blood flow tonight. Break up every stain, every spot, every molecule of sin in your life. Let it flow through your mind. Give you pure thoughts. Amen. Divine inspiration. You get ready to come to this table. What a fellowship we have. We have another channel of communication for inspiration. Where we can hear his voice. And we can say, speak, Lord, thy servant hear it. Amen. Let us enter in that spirit. Worship him. Open up our hearts to his Holy Spirit tonight. We get ready to come to this table. It's a battle for the mind this hour. To change, conquer the minds and change the lifestyles. Take away your real values, your real Christian heritage. But we are ordained to overcome sins. Though if we stay with this word, we shall be more than conquerors.
Thank you.
of our hands, close our eyes, bow our heads, sing it with love and appreciation, with grace in our hearts. Let's make that confession tonight if you believe it. That's why he shed his blood for me and you. Confess that tonight. If you had not gone to Calvary, then our soul would be lost. Greater love hath no man than this, a man laid down his life for his friends. But when your word would open through your grace unto us in this hour, we would look into this great plan of redemption. How else could we have come out of this bondage and deception had it not been for the love that you loved us with? That you came and exchanged places with us. Oh, that we would live for you in this hour. And love with all our hearts and all our minds and all our souls and all our strength. That is how we want to be, Father. Even as we come tonight to remember you, may you be so vivid in our minds, the memory of you and what you mean to us, the grace and the love that you displayed to us, the love of God that our brother saved us far, and we are fully persuaded is going to take us home. And tonight as we come to keep this physical ordinance you have left back for us, we so desire that our souls, our entire beings, will be plunged deep into that vision of Calvary. It will so fill us afresh tonight. It'd be so real, the effects of it would be literally felt in our hearts. It would move in our beings throughout this building tonight. Every one of us that would come to this table. Oh God, let it be tonight, we pray. We might come and truly keep this feast in the spirit, in the love, in the frame of mind that is designed and ordained to be kept in. Grant it, Lord. We ask it in thy name. Amen. You made your head bow and your eye closed. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink it. In remembrance of me. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself. So let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. That we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home. That you come not together unto condemnation. Now we shall tarry one for the other for the next few moments, our hearts bowed in his presence. Also for us, the ministries, we tarry for you likewise. Remembering him who so loved us that he gave his life for us. We stand here with bowed hearts in thy divine presence. Our souls reflecting back upon that great manifestation of love. For it is written in thy word, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, as we remember that you became sin, that we can become the righteousness of God, called the very body of Christ today, the body that was without sin. I know, Lord, that those men examined you, not only that day, but throughout your life. You lived upon the face of this earth. They couldn't find one spot, one blemish. You truly and perfectly were the Lamb of God who was slain in the mind of God for our sins. And here, Lord, holding this unleavened bread, you gave us an institution that might be kept in this feast. When we come, Lord, to remember you, bread made without leaven, representing your body without sin. This bread, Lord, made by Christian hands, sanctified hands. I pray, Lord, tonight that you would bless it and sanctify it as it is intended to be used in thy service to keep this memorial feast tonight. And dear God, this wine that represents your precious blood,